And so today we're going to go mining for gold. Gold in the book of Proverbs. Maybe this week you can tell somebody, you heard a guy talk at church and he was talking about a book that's 3,000 years old. As though it were fresh today. And so that's where we are. This book, Proverbs, that we're going to start a series on, 3,000 years old. Now, we do have modern Proverbs. They're not as profound, and sometimes they're funny. So I brought some modern Proverbs into the service today in my sermon. Listen to a few of them. If you lend someone $20 and never see him again, it was probably worth it. Wisdom comes from good judgment, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. I think you know what I'm talking about. The quickest way to double your money is to fold it in half and put it back in your wallet. I didn't say it was your fault. I just said I was going to blame you. A married man should forget his mistakes. There's no use in two people remembering the same thing. A successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend. A successful woman is one who can find such a man. So as we speak about women here in this last proverb, we're going to look at two women in the book of Proverbs. And today we're going to introduce you to them, especially that first lady that we call Wisdom. And so we meet this lady in chapter 1. And I told you that we were having this new series called W. And it has every topic starting with the letter W. And today it's Wisdom. W, Wisdom. Now, this lady, Wisdom, is personified as a lady, and she's not shy in this personification. She goes into the streets, she shouts out her message, and those who embrace her find life. But there's another woman in this book, and you're going to meet her in chapters 2 through 9. Polar opposite. We discover that she, this other woman, has several names in addition to the ones that she has: forbidden woman, strange woman, foreign woman, adulteress. She's never called woman. This other woman, she's secretive, she lurks in the shadows, she has brazen propositions, and those who embrace her do not find life like with the first lady, they find death. And so for the first 9 chapters, you see this personification of ladies, one calling and then the other, and then one calling again and the other. And if you weren't really aware of what they were saying, you would think, well, they have the same message. Come to me, embrace me, you'll be glad you did. But their messages are radically different. As I said, these aren't actual women. It's a literary device by Solomon to present two ways, the way of understanding, the way of wisdom, the way of good and blessing, the other way, the way of disaster, the way of terror, and all kinds of bad things. And so one way, the way of fools, they follow sinful patterns of behavior, self-indulgent, God-ignoring, advice-rejecting, people-using, commandment-breaking. That's that one lady. The other way is a way of righteousness, self-controlling, God-seeking, advice-respecting, people-honoring, and commandment-keeping. And the way of blessing there is a way to enjoy life, to enjoy others, to enjoy God. Now, in order to drive this point home, I said that Solomon is using two ladies, two women, trying to convince people that they're trying to embrace, we can embrace them. And today, as I said, one is bad and one is good. So we're going to look at the good lady today. We're going to meet her, Wisdom. And from now on, I'm going to call her Lady Wisdom. I'm going to give her dignity, Lady Wisdom. And she bursts upon us in chapter 1 in this beautifully crafted poem. And she's trying to get our attention. She is riveting in what she has to say. She's bold, she's clear, she's hard-hitting, and she's a lady we need to listen to. So would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word as we listen to Lady Wisdom's words in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn to my reproof, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I've called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, Because you have ignored all my counsel and would not have none any of my ways of reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread or disaster. You may be seated. Is this lady speaking directly or not? She telling the truth or not? She is. She's right out there in front of us. So let me give you the big idea of my talk today. We need to listen to this lady in Proverbs who's called wisdom. Can't turn our back on her. Can't disregard her. We're going to find out some people do to their own harm. We need to understand her. She needs to be our counselor. She needs to be our familiar friend. And I want you to see four critical features about her that will help you to understand this lady we call wisdom. And once you understand these, you can embrace her. And you can have her benefits. And you can have what she's designed to do for you, because wisdom is about helping you, helping me live life skillfully. Feature number one about her. We need to know her technique. How does she come to people? What's her technique? Well, verses 20 and 21 tell us she shouts in the streets. Wisdom has a message she wants to get out, so she goes where the crowds are. She goes to the streets. She goes to the open air. She goes to the city gates. She goes wherever the people are, and she shouts. Now, the word shout here in verse 20 has the idea of a clear-sounding, loud, shrill. When I was back in Erie, I had a secretary who had a voice like that. And when she let go, a whole church could stop right in its tracks in the auditorium. In fact, she was with me in Africa. We were in this little plane as we were going to a remote area where the missionaries were working. And she hated to be in that airplane. I shouldn't have done this. This was a bad thing. I know. I shouldn't have done this. But she hated to be in the airplane. And we all had the headsets on, so we could all talk to each other, the pilot, she and me. And I said to the pilot, why don't you do a big loop in the sky like that? She let out this scream like this. I think she chased every bird away in 10 miles. And so this lady, wisdom, she has a shrill, loud voice. She shouts in the street. And it is only intensified as her passion comes through about her message. And so she's trying to attract attention. Verse 20, by shouting. So I've got four questions about this woman shouting in the streets to help us understand her technique. Question number one, why does she choose the streets? She chooses the streets rather than the classroom because she's talking about life as it really is, not academics. So she's out where people are. She's calling to the crowds. She wants as many as possible to hear her message. She chooses the streets because that's where her audience is, whether they know it or not, and they need to hear her. Question number two, why does she shout? Well, she shouts because the streets are a hard place to get your message across. People are distracted. They're busy. They're about their own affairs. They're not interested. They can be antagonistic, and she needs to attract and hold their attention, so she shouts. Now, I had one of these people in the first service. Let's see if there's any in the second. How many of you have ever done street preaching? Nobody? I have. Not often. Go back to my college days, Old Town Chicago. I got in the streets and I preached. Do you think that was easy? It was not easy. What was my greatest ally? A loudspeaker. I needed volume. I had to shout. Because it's really hard to keep your audience in the street. So she shouts to get her message across. They might be able to pay attention because she wants them to know that what she has to say is the difference between life and death, blessing and disaster. Question number three. Does Lady Wisdom shout in the streets today? The answer, yes, she does. She does it differently. Now, as I said, she's not a literal lady, but how does this Lady Wisdom shout today? Well, when you read your Bible, she shouts. When you hear the Bible preached, she shouts. When parents teach their children the Word of God and how to live according to His precepts, she shouts. When we read books about Christian living, she shouts. When we listen to Christian radio, she shouts. She's right out there, even today. So here's the question I can't resist, number four. Why is Lady Wisdom a woman and not a man? I mean, aren't men supposed to be the preachers? Remember, this is a metaphor we're talking about, but every time we have the word wisdom in Proverbs, it's in the feminine gender, not the masculine. So right out of the bat, we have a lady personified, Lady Wisdom. But there's a second reason that you have to understand why this is a woman speaking. God wants us to know He's not uptight about a woman speaking. He wants us to know that right out of the gate. Some people are really uptight. A woman speaks, not God. Now, the Hebrew culture 3,000 years ago, men did the speaking, but in Proverbs, we break with that. It's a woman, and God wants us to know there are times He needs to get our attention by a different voice, and in this case, it was a woman, the feminine voice. And I want you to know something. Women have profound things to say. Is there an amen? Amen. They really, the older I get, the more profound they sound to me. And there are times that we need to hear the feminine voice, not just from the book of Proverbs, but in general, today, the feminine voice. God did never shut that down. And so, feature number one is about her technique. She gets out in the streets where the people are, and she shouts. Interesting. But now, you need to meet her audience. Feature number two, we need to know Lady Wisdom's audience. I want you to meet them. Who are they? Well, obviously, everybody should be listening to her. But in this text, she's got a tough audience. She's got three members in that audience that are really hard. And they're around today. Member number one that we see here, as we find out who her audience is what's called the simple or the naive. We're not talking about a person who is unintelligent here at all. The word means to leave oneself open to seduction or deception. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people out there today who leave themselves wide open to all kinds of deception that's out there. They are simple. They are naive, she says. And these people will flirt with temptation and sin, and they'll drift into danger because they were too stupid to understand the truth. They lost their filters. So that's member number one, the simple one. No filters, leaves themselves wide open. Member number two, verse 22, is the scoffer, the scorner. This is the person who not only disregards the message, he makes light of it. He ridicules it, laughs in its face, discredits truth to anybody who will listen, and he even makes the messenger of God look like an idiot. That's the second member, the scoffer, the scorner. Here's the third member of the audience that we're looking at today in verse 22. It's called the fool. And the fool here is a person lacking common sense. Not only does he refuse to learn the word of God, but his mind is closed. He will not open his mind to truth. And he relies on what he thinks is right as the way the world functions. And he has no clue how wrong he is and the trouble he's courting. And Proverbs calls that person the fool. Now, I need you to understand something. Those three members are normal people. We're looking at them from God's point of view. When God's wisdom comes down and people react the way we're talking about here, these three members, that's how God sees them. These are normal people. They're people who dismiss wisdom's call as something they don't need. So characteristic number two about this lady, first one, she shouts to her audience. The second one is we meet her audience. She calls to those who will likely turn a deaf ear to what she has to say, and how I pray that Christ Community Church would never be in that position, to be that stupid, that foolish, that naive. But there's a third feature I want you to see about this lady. She shouts to people who don't want to listen. And she, number three, gives them an offer. She gives them an offer. She calls to her audience and she tells them what she has to offer. Verse 23. She offers reproof and then she'll pour out her spirit to teach them true wisdom. Now, how many say, I'd love to be reproved? You know, we want to walk away from that. What is reproof? It's calling you into accountability and teaching you how to do what's right. That's what reproof is. It's really verbal correction. And reproof means to create an awareness of wrong along with a corrective instruction. And the simple ones, the scoffers, the fools, will listen to her. And if they did listen to her, they'd have to admit they're wrong. They'd have to change, and they don't want to do that. But she still offers her invitation, followed by instruction. Now, for those who are willing to listen to her, praise God, there are people like that. Verse 23 says, she'll envelop them with her presence. She promises to pour out her spirit upon them. She will drape them in the wisdom of God. And things will begin to make sense like they never did before. It's amazing, the transformation. And so Lady Wisdom makes her words known today, and she's hoping people will listen because she wants to drape them. And then she promises in verse 23 to make her words known to them, that she'll open up the truth about wisdom. Now, I want you to understand something very, very clearly in verse 23. Wisdom is not so much a search for truth as it is a revelation of truth. Wisdom is revelation from God. We don't have to go searching for it like the miner does and find it. Oh, yeah, we can do that once in a while. But it's really actually revelation. And where is the revelation of God? Where is the revelation of his wisdom? I will tell you. Right here. It's the word of God. This is the wisdom of God. And if you understand the revelation here about wisdom, you'll be transformed in your thinking and in your living. And one of the great goals in life is to learn how God thinks and how we should live as a result of that. That's all in the word. That is wisdom. Otherwise, we'll have our own brand of wisdom. And isn't America a place with our own brand of wisdom? And the Bible calls that, especially in Proverbs, it says, do not lean on your own understanding. And that's what we do. Many, many people, even in the church, they lean on their own understanding. They're into the cultural wisdom, and it's so wrong. That kind of understanding is foolishness, my friends. Our wisdom is never smart. It is always foolish. And yet, in the church, it is rife with foolish wisdom. I mean, I remember a conversation I heard some years ago in my former church. These were senior adults, and they were dating each other, and this one. So person number one says to person number two, you know, you've been going along pretty well with this guy. Why don't you marry him? You've dated long enough. She says, well, I'm not sure I want to marry him. I don't know enough about him yet, and I'm just not ready to do that. She says, well, why don't you just try living together for a while and see if it works? I'm thinking, these people are in my church. This is the wisdom of the world. You don't live together to see if it works. That's not God's wisdom at all. And so we have to understand Lady Wisdom, that she will give us what the world cannot give us because the world traffics in its own ideas of wisdom, and they are wrong. So she offers to reprove our foolishness so that she can, by her spirit, reveal all her incredible life giving words. But Lady Wisdom knows something. She knows a lot of people in this world aren't going to listen. And after they stop listening, she's not going to be there forever. Please, won't you listen to me? Please, please, please. And always go after them chasing. She won't do that. There comes a time she says, I'm cutting you loose. You're on your own. And that's where we are right now in feature four. We need to know Lady Wisdom's warning about rejecting her words. She has a warning if we reject her. And what is her warning? Is that she will eventually pull away from deaf ears and let fools crash and burn. That is her warning. And in bold pointed statements in verses 24 to 32, she tells her detractors exactly what's going to happen to them and the process by which they will destroy themselves once she's gone for them. So I want you to see this unpleasant four-step withdrawal that we have of Lady Wisdom. When she's had enough of offering and finally says, I'm leaving, this is how she's going to do it. Step number one, she's rejected. People aren't going to listen to her anymore. They're tired of her. Her message was refused. She told them what was right and what was wrong, but they rejected her counsel, and they refused to listen to her. They blew her off. You know, one of the hard things in life is if you know where the dangers are and you tell people and they disregard it and they go to the dangers anyway. I mean, have you ever been a parent? Try to help your teenage kid and you tell them what the pitfalls are, you know? And that's the way it is with wisdom. She knows what's ahead. She tries to warn people. They blow her off. And there comes a point where she's rejected. They won't listen to her at all. That leads to step number two. When she is rejected, step number two is she mocks her rejectors. She mocks them. Verses 26 and 27. Now, this is an incredible role reversal. When she's calling to them, say, follow my wisdom, they're mocking her. But when she is rejected, she mocks them, and especially when they get into their own kind of trouble. Now, this mocking is almost surprising. Are you telling me that God is into mocking pain about people who wouldn't listen to him? Well, this is not about the heartlessness of God. I got to tell you that. It's making a point about the absurdity of choosing folly over wisdom. If it weren't so pathetic, it would be laughable. That's the point right here. And people who ignore the word of God will eventually bring calamity down on their own heads. Well, Lady Wisdom is rejected, and then she mocks at those who refuse to listen to her when their pain comes. Step three, she hides. She eventually hides. She stops mocking, and she hides, verses 28 through 29. And look what happens. When she hides, now the people in pain are whining, say, okay, now I'll listen to you. Now please come out and help me, help me, help me. I'll listen to wisdom now. But she doesn't come out. She stays in hiding. Why? Because she knows something. Verse 29, it says they hated knowledge. They didn't choose the fear of the Lord when she called. And she understands they really don't have a change of heart. They just want to get away from their problems and their pain. And if she rescues them, they will go right back where they were. So she stays in hiding. She doesn't come out to their rescue, which leads me to step number four. She leaves. She's rejected. And then she mocks them, and then she hides, and she's gone. She's gone for good. They wouldn't listen. Now the simple ones, the fools, thought their way was better. They ignored her, and now she's gone, and nobody is there telling them what is right. Now, I want to be totally upfront with you. Sometimes it looks like Lady Wisdom doesn't deliver the goods. It looks like the other lady gives more fun, it gives more of enjoyment in life and everything than Lady Wisdom. And I used to think about Hugh Hefner. Remember him? Hugh Hefner. His empire, his wealth, and his pleasure. Since the 1950s, it looks like Lady Wisdom was proven wrong, that the other woman was better for him than Lady Wisdom. But you know what? It's not ours to look around to see who's beating the system. Our job is to listen to her call and to embrace her and follow her, because in most cases, we're going to wreck our lives if we don't follow her. And that's a stupid thing to do. So feature four is about don't ignore her warnings, because if you do, she'll leave. And if the other lady has what seems to be a good thing, in the end, it'll be bad anyway. So let me bring this to a conclusion. I want to leave you with a twofold challenge. Number one, I plead with you today, listen to wisdom. And when I mean listen so that you do what she says. Don't blow her off. Don't be like the naive, the scorner, and the fool in these verses. Verse 33 says, if you'll listen to her when she calls, if you follow her advice, if you accept her reproof, you will have amazing results. You'll live securely and be at ease from the dread of disaster. That's a pretty amazing statement. What does it mean? If you listen to wisdom, you'll spare yourself a lot of problems. That's what that means. If you listen to your own understanding, you're going to have a lot of problems. You'd be too stupid to know you brought it upon yourself. But there's a second thing I want you to see here. There are times people follow Lady Wisdom and bad things happen to them. What's that about? What's that about? You need to know something about Proverbs here. Proverbs is not a book of absolute promises that happen every time. It's a book of probabilities. Most times what it says will happen. But there are times God will take people down another road and they may go through pain and difficulty and heartache and trouble, even though they followed wisdom, because God is doing something we don't understand. And that's the reason I love songs that have words like this. When it seems that we lost our flowery beds of ease and disaster comes, it's a song like this that reinforces Lady Wisdom's touch. Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. And I want you to know that if you are following Lady Wisdom and the storm comes, she'll never let you go and you'll never crash and burn. She will hold you tightly. She calls to you even in difficult times. The second challenge is not only to listen to her and do what she says. The second challenge I leave you with is to recognize who Lady Wisdom really is. And I put a blank in my sermon notes today to tease you a little bit. I didn't want you to know what was coming till I got there, because this is so important. Lady Wisdom makes herself known in the Old Testament Proverbs as Lady Wisdom, but it's in the New Testament we find out who she really is. Do you know who she really is? Lady Wisdom in the New Testament is Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom of God. He is the one that speaks the truth of God. And to obey him is to bring our lives into joy and abundance. And those who refuse to listen to Christ hurt themselves. So I stand on behalf of Christ today calling out to you. Listen to his voice. Don't be the simple one, the scoffer, the fool. Get to know Christ and his teachings and listen to his reproof, hear his voice, and you will spare yourself a lot of heartache. Embrace him and allow the word of Christ to dwell richly in you with all wisdom. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Would you please bow your heads with me? I just want to have you do a little bit of evaluation in your own life today about how you're listening to wisdom or how you're not. Do you get the word of God and do you look at it and say, oh, this is God calling to me, or do you kind of put it on a shelf and not listen to it? Or do you figure out your own ways? Just where are you? Do a reality check. And have you come to Christ? Maybe you're here today and you've not known the forgiveness of your sins. You've not taken him as Savior and you don't know him in a personal way. You need to understand wisdom begins with your knowledge in a personal way of Jesus Christ. And so for a moment or two right now, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, would you do a little reflection to see what your relationship really is with wisdom and with Christ? Well, my hope is that the Holy Spirit is moving among us right now. And if we need to make some adjustments in our relationship with the Lady Wisdom or with Christ, we'll do that. So I'm asking as we sing this next song that the Spirit of God would move among us in a very vital way. And actually, if you've never met Christ, feel free enough to come to the front, meet me, and I will be able to share with you how you can know Christ forever, whom to know aright is life everlasting and abundance even now. Would you stand now as we sing our final song as Wisdom calls to us in the name of Christ.